From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The ACLU of Southern California has filed a class action lawsuit against Riverside County for a student disciplinary program called the Youth Accountability Team, or YAT. Founded more than 17 years ago, the YAT is run by the Riverside County Probation Department and was meant to help at-risk youth stay in school. But the program's punitive measures end up criminalizing children for such things as bad grades and acting out. The suit was filed on behalf of three young people who've been targeted by the program, as well as a youth mentoring program called Sigma Beta Xi, which works with youth of color in Riverside. Not surprisingly, the Riverside County YAT program disproportionately targets black and brown children. Many have denounced YAT as facilitating the school-to-prison pipeline. The ACLU has gone further, calling it oppressive and unconstitutional. My guest is Hannah Comstock. She's an attorney with the ACLU of Southern California, and she is also a Loyola Law School postgraduate public interest fellow. Welcome to the program, Hannah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I mentioned that it was founded, this is a program that was founded in 2001 to help at-risk youth. Give us a little bit more background. What is the goal or the stated goal of this program in Riverside County?
So the stated goal of this program is to divert youth who commit low-level first-time offenses from the juvenile justice system. It's the product of state legislation that, you know, seeks to fund these types of programs. So they are trying to keep youth out of the justice system. When in fact, as we see what's happening in Riverside County, is that it's actually pushing kids into the system much more quickly than they would have ever been.
So the lawsuit makes some very strong claims, and looking at some of the documentation that was filed in court, this YAT program sounds pretty incredible. What are some of the offenses, quote unquote, for which children get flagged by this program?
So we've seen referrals to the YAT program for things like grieving over the death of a baby sister. That was one of the most troubling ones that we've seen. And then, of course, we also see things like poor grades, needs a behavior adjustment, having trouble at school. We even saw one where the person who was completing the referral noted that the student was homeless, but referred him nonetheless because he was having trouble making it to school on time.
Now, so these do not go anywhere near low level criminal offenses. None of these infractions without this program would have landed any of these kids in juvenile detention, right?
That's absolutely correct.
So what are some of the things that this program requires targeted kids to do?
So once you're subjected to the program, you are subjected to however many terms that the probation officer wants to assign to you. And those can include things like abiding a curfew that's much earlier than the city curfew where you live. So things like 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. They can also require you to submit to drug tests at any, you know, at the officer's whim. You can also be subjected to mandatory searches of your home and of your car and of all of your belongings and your person. Additionally, you're required to attend or to have visits with officers during class time. So officers will actually come and pull you out of your classroom and have this pretty much meaningless contact visit with you during class time.
So who are the people who enforce this program? Are they all police officers or probation officers working for Riverside County?
Yes, so it's a combination of essentially all of the law enforcement actors within Riverside County. So the primary actor here is probation. Probation, receives most of the funds, and they are the ones who are really designing and implementing and operating the program. But they also receive extensive assistance from the district attorney's office, the prosecutors. And they also receive quite a bit of assistance from county law enforcement, so the sheriff's department, as well as local law enforcement, so local police departments.
So there is already an entire juvenile justice system in place, I understand. And then there's this separate system, the Youth Accountability Team, which on paper is meant to keep kids out of juvenile detention. How does it compare to the actual juvenile justice system?
So a minor who actually would go through the justice system, there is another set of laws that allow a judge to divert the minor. So a minor who a petition has been filed against can appear before a judge, and that judge can say, this is a low-level offense, it's your first offense, so let's divert you. And when that happens, the child is subjected to certain probation conditions as well. However, those conditions are much less onerous than the ones that are assigned in YAP. So very rarely are drug testing conditions assigned. Our search conditions are typically never assigned. And, you know, all of the additional conditions that are standard in a YAC contract are just completely absent from the probation contract that the judge would assign.
So essentially the youth accountability team is holding kids or subjecting kids to far worse punitive measures than if the kids were actually sent to juvenile detention.
If they were sent to the juvenile court, so if they were adjudicated and then put to detention, that would be a different,
I see, right,
a different
yes.
story.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds as though the sorts of things that YAT is doing should fall into the purview of teachers and school staff. Who is subjected to this program? Is it all schools that fall within Riverside County? And how are YAT team members called in? Is it something that the school triggers?
So that's a great question. YAT officers are actually stationed on particular campuses within certain districts. Our review of available evidence thus far shows that YAT officers are much more active in certain districts than others. We hope to further understand that trend with discovery, which is forthcoming. However, it is clear that right now, YAT officers are concentrated in particular districts throughout the county. And so once they're there, they're telling school staff that certain conduct is actually an offense that would render a child eligible for probation supervision. So it's the teacher or the administrator who's actually writing the referral, but they're doing so under an understanding that probation has really embedded within their minds.
So the teachers are in, or sometimes sort of implicated in fueling this program?
They're fueling the program pursuant to an understanding, right, that probation has really told them is true. So when an officer is telling you that a child who is antisocial in the classroom is a child who's eligible for probation and that, you know, the YAT team can provide services and help this minor, the teacher is going to adopt that narrative and they're going to refer the child to that program. And so that's absolutely what we've seen happen.
I want to dissect a little bit about what it is that the YAT program says it's doing. There's an interesting PowerPoint program that's available online that shows this program's approach, a very old-fashioned approach that sort of speaks in language about, as you said, antisocial behavior. What is it that's actually, I mean, are any of their approaches, is this program in any way based on actual data that about child development, how children develop, how children behave and respond and why they behave certain ways, child psychology experts, et cetera, have they been consulted? Is any of what they're wanting to do based in the real world?
So what we've seen is there's a growing body of scholarly research and academic research to really understand what is an effective diversion program and what is the best way, what are the best practices for a juvenile justice system to operate, especially when it relates to low-level offenders and first-time offenders. And what that research shows is that the least amount of law enforcement contact is the most preferable, and that, in fact, those types of low-level offenders and first-time offenders shouldn't have any law enforcement contact at all, and that once they do, they're exponentially more likely to be to interact with the justice system again. And so this program completely ignores that body of research. Additionally, in the research that we've seen, you know, probation and other YAT-associated law enforcement agencies, the research that they've done thus far, it does not seem to address any of those concerns that have been raised by folks who are, you know, actively practicing in this area and researching what impact, if any, law enforcement contact has on low-level offenders.
And so tell us a little bit about how especially kids of color are disproportionately targeted. I understand that Black students are 2.5 times and Latino students were 1.5 times more likely than white students to be accused of certain kinds of violations.
That's correct. And so what we've seen is that in terms of the number of youth who are referred from school staff, that both Black and Latinx youth are overrepresented in those numbers as compared to their white peers and as compared to their countywide enrollment averages. When we're also looking at the percentages and numbers of youth who are referred and then put on a YAC contract, similar overrepresentations exist there as well.
So this is obviously not very different from the kind of thing that we see in our sort of day-to-day, society where Black and brown folks are generally disproportionately targeted. You have a program that's run, you know, according to sort of law enforcement standards, and you get the standard kinds of systemic racist outcomes, it seems. Black and brown kids who are generally even more often disciplined by teachers in the classroom are set up to fail, if you will, because they're sent through the school to prison pipeline. How are the kids that are targeted by this YAT program, this youth accountability team, is there any data on whether those who are targeted by them end up being more likely to wind up in the system because they've already been on the radar of police?
There certainly is data, and it's data that we hope to receive through discovery, so we can really understand how those trends manifest.
So let's also talk a little bit more about what it is that I want to just put up on the screen for our TV audience some of the PowerPoint images that the Youth Accountability Program is using to explain what it is that it does. One of them shows juvenile probation officers wear many hats. So this is what these probation officers are saying, that they could be a counselor, a social worker, a peace officer, a parent, a mentor, a friend, a teacher, a disciplinarian, or a role model. That's quite a lot of things that this program is claiming that it can do. So I understand one of the things that this program is claiming that it wants to do is teach kids accountability for actions, impulse control, respect for authority, and rules of society. How do you respond to this? What is it about this particular approach that, as a parent, when I read this, it really rubs me the wrong way?
Yes. So the rules that YAP probation imposes on youth are actually much more extreme than the typical rules and laws that you and I and other youth are expected to abide by. So it's actually subjecting youth to much more onerous conditions. So like I mentioned, a curfew that's much earlier than it should be, that's as required by city ordinance, and provisions prohibiting association with anyone not approved of by a probation officer. So it's imposing conditions and holding kids accountable to conditions that are just completely unrealistic for the average life of a child. So really what it's doing is it's setting kids up to fail by imposing certain, terms of probation that are just unrealistic for a child.
How many kids are on average sort of passed through this program? I understand it's on the order of thousands per year.
Yes. So we have seen numbers that 36,000 kids have, at least 36,000 kids have gone through it, have been referred to the program.
Since it started in 2001?
Since it started in 2001. The most recent years, so 2018 data is not available yet, so we have not seen that. But in terms of between 2005 and 2016, there's actually been more than 3,000 children who have been in YAT for the offense of, quote, defiance and incorrigibility.
Incorrigibility. How often do we hear that word these days? Incorrigible children is, you know, the kind of thing you would hear in Victorian times about children who should be seen and not heard. How have parents responded to all of this in Riverside County? And actually tell us about the youth mentoring group, Sigma Beta Psi, that on whose behalf your organization has also filed this class action lawsuit. So parents and other programs, other adults in the community.
So parents are troubled by the program. Parents are often, you know, they're also fed on occasions the same narrative that probation feeds to school staff. And so parents will sometimes think, oh, this program's here to help my child. But what they see once the program is actually initiated, that they have to do quite a bit just to keep their kid in compliance with the program. And that, you know, officers will show up at their door and come into their home, and it's much more invasive than they could have ever thought. And it's completely different than what they had anticipated. Additionally, they are, you know, oftentimes if you don't know your rights, you can't necessarily voice any concerns or voice any wrong that's been happening. And so once parents understand that they have a right to reject this program and a right to not let an officer into their home, they're extremely troubled by the fact that they were subjected to, you know, at least 6 months of this type of supervision.
So and go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Training to Sigma Beta Xi, it's a local community-based organization that mentors at-risk youth. So the same youth population that YAT targets, but instead Sigma Beta Xi operates completely free of law enforcement involvement, and they connect youth with adult mentors who perhaps grew up in the same area and experienced the same, you know, life experiences that may have led the child to have behavioral issues or issues at school. And so when that child is connected with an adult who can really identify with what the child is going through, then that is a much more positive intervention and support than law enforcement could ever be.
So are schools also at all worried about this program, or are they defending the youth accountability team?
So we've had a few conversations with schools since we filed the lawsuit. However, we have heard from at least two different districts that there was serious concern that was raised by this lawsuit, and that they are reconsidering their affiliation and association with the youth accountability team after the lawsuit was filed.
Is there any program like this elsewhere in the country that you know of? I mean, it's just really amazing to me that we are criminalizing these kids. I believe it starts for kids as young as 11 or 12, all the way through about 17 or 18, that for such things as, you know, talking back, cursing, getting bad grades, that kids would be subjected to these conditions.
Yes, there are other programs that are similar to this one. Program is extreme in the conditions that it assigns and the consequences that it imposes. However, there are other law enforcement-based, probation-based programs that do target youth at school who are, you know, experiencing poor grades or behavioral issues at school and subject them to probation supervision.
I imagine that being targeted by this program would make you less rather than more likely to succeed.
That is correct. That is what we have seen, yes. That it actually makes children feel like they're criminals. And it creates this framework that the child approaches, you know, life through once they're labeled as, you know, an at-risk juvenile delinquent.
Now explain, as an attorney, how this program is unconstitutional. That's the word that the ACLU of Southern California used to describe this, and I understand is the basis of the lawsuit.
It is. So we found several constitutional issues with this program. And the first is that youth and parents aren't actually made aware of what their rights are in relation to this program. A child who's referred for poor grades or behavioral issues would not face prosecution in Riverside County, but they're nonetheless told that if they do not agree to the program, that they could face prosecution. Similarly, they're not told what offense they're charged of. There's a concept of notice in the law, so you have to actually know, you know, what you're accused of to defend against the charges. And if an officer sends you a letter or calls you on the phone and says, you've been a char you've been accused of a crime and don't actually tell you what that crime is, or they send you a letter that simply cites a law, a section of the law, that does not adequately advise the minor or their parents of what charge they're actually potentially facing. So it's under these conditions that a minor shows up to a police station with their parents, and they're basically coerced into accepting, yeah, probation. And so all of those conditions together, we believe, violate the concept of procedural due process under the Constitution. Similarly, there is a law in there's a California law that actually creates the offense of defiance and incorrigibility. And
what?
That is, yes, yes. And so we believe that that law is another a legal term, which basically means that it doesn't give enough notice to, you know, folks who are subjected to it as to what behavior actually violates the law. And it puts a lot of discretion into the enforcement agency, and it allows for discriminatory enforcement, which we've certainly seen in this case.
Well, where can people find out more about the lawsuit, Hannah?
So on the ACLUSoCal.org website, we actually have a case page where you can follow any updates within the case and where we will file or publish any filings that we have submitted within our case.
ACLUSoCal.org is the website. We'll link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Hannah, for joining us.
Thank you.
Hannah Comstock is an attorney with the ACLU of Southern California, and she is a Loyola Law School postgraduate public interest fellow. We've been discussing the ACLU lawsuit against the Riverside County YAT program. YAT stands for Youth Accountability Team. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.